could, Ken Metz, are you back in the room?
I'm coming up.
Okay, and this is such a privilege. I'm going to come out in a minute. We have an honored guest with us at this time, and it's Senator Fran Pavley. Fran Pavley served in the California legislature for 14 years from 2000 to 2006 in the Assembly and from 2008 to 2016 in the Senate. But even more important, before that, she was a teacher and the first mayor of Agoura Hills. Where is Agoura Hills, Senator? You'll have to tell us when you come up. So if the Senator would come up and if Ken Metz would come up, we have a presentation, and we would like to hear from the senator for a few minutes. And then I'll just say that at the end of the session, we'd like the officers of the guide dog users, I mean Golden State guide dog handlers, and the CCB officers to come up for photo ops. So, Senator, welcome. Whoops. Come on up. Okay, Ken, we're going to go back in front of the table.
Oh, okay.
Is Margie Donovan here? I don't think so.
No.
I asked her if she was coming, and she said she wasn't. Thank you again.
Well, I want to thank Jeff Tom for inviting me here today. We had a great year up in Sacramento, very successful in passing Senate Bill 1331. And I'm not sure if any of you were there. Did any of you testify at one of those hearings, come all the way to Sacramento? I can't tell you what a great job you did. Articulate, to the point, you obviously studied everything about the bill, gave personal stories, and the members of the committees in both the Assembly and the Senate who voted the bill out, I think unanimously each time, we're so impressed, and so was I. And of course, I have to admit it, as a former guide dog puppy raiser, the stars of the show were the guide dogs that accompanied everyone up to the building. I have some wonderful pictures of that. So a little background on why I got involved with guide dogs and passionate about helping people that are visually impaired is... my kids were looking for a 4-H project. I live out in Agoura Hills, and Mary, it's about 15 miles west. Agoura Hills is at the far end of the San Fernando Valley, almost on the Ventura County line, sort of up close to the Santa Monica Mountains, along the 101 freeway area. So we got engaged with 4-H, and luckily I live in an area that didn't allow cows or horses or swine, but the 4-H chapter said guide dogs are a project you can do with our chapter. And so we started down that road, and for those of you who have raised guide dog puppies, and this is all from Guide Dogs from the Blind, Keith at San Rafael, they came down and they told me they were going to do a house inspection first to see if we qualified. I cleaned everything. Everything inside. Well, no one told me what they were going to be looking for, so you know. And so everything's dusted, everything's perfect. Yes, it was. Actually, they were looking to see if you had a fence outside and some of those basics, so cleaning the whole house was not the point. But we had a wonderful experience raising a guide dog. I think my daughter was about 10 or 11, a perfect age to get children thinking about other things more than themselves. She loved raising her dog, and actually the dog made it, went through graduation ceremonies. We went up to San Rafael, and those of you who participated in those ceremonies, they are amazing, where you, the child physically hands over the dog to the person that's going to be their new owner. And I think one thing that was so especially exciting about it, this woman who had my daughter Jenny's dog, kept in touch with her for many, many years, and that made a real difference in her life. But here's the problem with raising a guide dog puppy. they leave, right? Right about 1.5 years old. Then you think you want another one. So fast forward, 4 guide dog puppies later, we went through 4. Half about made it, half needed what I now know is called a career change. You can't say flunked out of guide dog school. I've been corrected enough. Career change. One of those that needed a career change ended up coming back to us. The other one did not. And today, here I was up in the assembly, and I was carrying a bill for Council of the Blind. I have to look up the number. I was looking it up. It was 12 years ago. I contacted Council of the Blind to see if they needed any help, and it was on stiffening penalties for attacks on guide dogs or their owners, and increasing the penalties, and also allowing the court to decide what additional money should be awarded to the person for vet bills and other costs. And so being in the legislature, I was able sort of to help out in that way. But while in the assembly, someone from, I think, Guide Dogs for the Blind said, you know, you can adopt a dog that needed a career change, I'll put it that way, needed a career change. And so we got a dog about 2 years old or 1.5 years old, needed a career change. And you can donate some money to Guide Dogs for the Blind, and you get this dog back home. Well, boy, did she need a career change. She had some medical issues like restricted esophagus and other things. So raised table, and I know that, you know, medical problems are a real problem for anyone to take care of them normally, especially if you're not able to physically see what is going on and react to that timely manner. But I think what she really lacked is she had selective listening. She sometimes would listen to you, and more often than not, just pretend she never heard you. And I can't imagine what a dog like that would be if no voice commands would work. She also was semi-partial to chasing cats. And my husband and I were both middle school teachers. I taught for 29 years, and he taught for 32 years. And one day at home, she got bored and chewed up the couch. So, where's Guide Dogs for the Blind? Keith, this dog we've had for now 14 years, she turns 15 in a month, stubborn as ever, but is happy and healthy, and so it's been a real pleasure, you know, having a guide dog that needed a career change and taking care of it at home, because it reminds us of all the puppies that we had. We also had one guide dog puppy, second one that made it. His name was King. And interestingly enough, the person who spent all the time training King was my son, David. And what's very interesting about David, he's autistic. That's actually a good match. They're very focused on doing everything right. Scheduling, you tell them what the rules are, follows it up at a certain time, and he still treasures those memories today and always talks about King. Well, King needed to retire about age 7 or 8 because it was harder and harder for him to spend a long time on hardwood floors all the time. And so we got a call, and they said, would you like King to come retire at your home? So we had King for 5 years after that, and he was the best trained dog in the world, and we loved having King in our life for a return visit. So you can see why my 14 years in the legislature, I ended up having my staff reach out and see if there's anything that Guide Dogs for the Blind or the California Council of the Blind needed as far as legislation. So fast forward to about 1.5 years ago, we called, and I think probably called Jeff, and asked what were some issues on their plate. We thought they would be minor little problems, little tweaks. I assured my staff that this wouldn't take up any time at all. We had some other things going on too. This would be fun, and I love guide dogs. It would be a great way to end my career. That bill, I guess when you try to interact sometimes with the state board and you want to change things and you think they're reforms, but they don't think so, it gets challenging, to say the least. So we had many, many meetings. I participated in some in my office. Sometimes they were contentious. But what this bill did, and Jeff can talk about it as well, is to me simple kinds of things that needed to be fixed. If all graduates now from guide dog school, the owners would get a fact sheet that they would have all the information on what are the roles and responsibilities of the state board guide dogs, what options do they have for you, what are your responsibilities. That made sense to me. And what I didn't realize, the makeup of the state council, the state board for guide dogs, only two of the seven members actually were people that had guide dogs. They were had been associated with guide dogs and had, they were a user and really aware of the challenges of having a guide dog and some of the things they're exposed to. So now, instead of two members of the seven members, it's three members and a little stronger voice, and that would be a minimum of three members. And then the hardest part of it all was the discussion that we had on, not sure how to phrase this, when you come into California or whether your dog was trained in an out-of-state facility, on whether they had the proper licenses. In California, both the person who trains the guide dogs and the three schools in California, they're required to be licensed, both of them. The rest of the states, it's just the facility, it's just the school. There's 11 other schools around the country. And if there was ever a problem, and let's say you moved or in California, but your dog was trained and you were trained with the dog outside of the state, and there was a problem, an accident, or some unexpected problem, wouldn't it be best for the person who knew, who trained your dog, who had a relationship with you, to come in and offer some advice, not really training, but some follow-up services if needed for that continuum of care? And that was a complicated discussion. We worked it out. Compromises were made. Amendments were taken in the bill. And at the end of the day, the governor signed it, and it had unanimous support on the floor of both the Assembly and the Senate. That's fine. So it was a great experience. So I'm thrilled to be here. Jeff wrote that I would be happy because guide dogs would be in the room, and that they are, and I've noticed that. I've seen more labs these days. I've noticed that too. And so thank you very much for allowing me to come by and just thank all of you and say good job from last year. And you need to think about seriously becoming effective lobbyists in Sacramento. You did an amazing job, and we're impressed everyone up there. Thank you very much.
Your presentation. I could do that. It might even. I'll give it to you in a second. Hold on one. I'll give it to you so you can read it. But oh, yeah, a little bit. No, you're here. You're here. Hold on before you read it, though. Hold on. Hi, Senator. Remember, my wife and I were in your offices. That's right. Senator, it's just a tremendous pleasure for us to have known you while you were in the legislature. I know the work you did, 12 years ago? I was up there on the Capitol steps. when you did that. And I believe one of our former guide dog members, Shirley Manning, was the one that had spoken to you. And then several of us have been working with you. Big thanks, of course, goes from our organization to Jeff Tom and Margie Donovan. And then you were so kind and gave us, goodness, about a half hour in your office. And I know you had so much to do, and I think most of your appointments are probably a lot less than that. But we certainly appreciated it. It's so nice to have a friend in the legislature that actually understands. Sometimes we get people to help us out. They'll sponsor bills. They'll vote and help us, but they don't get it. Senator Pavley was a puppy raiser. What a difference that makes when she really knew what the subject was all about. Senator, with that, we have a presentation of a plaque for you, and we're going to have it read first.
It's a wooden plaque with it's written on a gold, what do you call it, label on the front. And it's bronzy gold, yeah. But it says, California Council of the Blind Legislator of the Year Award to the Honorable State Senator Fran Pavley, who represented the 27th Senate District in portions of Los Angeles and Ventura counties. Senator Pavley worked tirelessly on a variety of cutting-edge issues, such as climate change, but she also found time to sponsor AB 1801 in 2004, which expanded the law regarding criminal interface with the use of a guide dog, and included unlawful intentional interference with mobility aids. A former guide dog puppy raiser herself, Senator Pavley in 2016 authorized SB 1331 on behalf of the California Council of the Blind, which adopted various reforms to the laws pertaining to the California Board of Guide Dogs for the Blind. Presented this seventh day of April 2017 in the city of Woodland Hills, California.
It's there, it'll protect it. And with that, Senator, again, from all of us, from the bottom of our hearts, to every dog's leash, paw, and body, every guide dog that has made it, and those that have been career changed, we thank you so kindly.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Wonderful.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm actually president currently of the Golden State Guide Dog Handlers, Inc., and so it's just a great privilege.